Okay, so guess what we're going to talk about today? Yeah, and I'm not out of my tree, although some people think I am. Joyce Kilmer wrote a poem called Trees. I think that I should never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. That is the tradition of Tu B'Shevat. That is, Tu B'Shevat is the 15th day of the month of Shevat, like saying the 4th of July, but it's the month of Shevat, and Tu is the number 15. So when you say Tu B'Shevat, you mean the New Year's Day for trees. You think we invented Arbor Day in Nebraska? No. Jews invented it. This is it. This is an ancient tradition. Goes way back past the time Nebraska became a territory. In fact, thousands of years before that, wherein it is the last day of the first fruits to be offered to God for the prior year, and the determination of tree harvest tithes. Much like April 15th is our tax deadline day, this is the deadline day for determining what trees you're supposed to tithe from. Tu B'Shevat is of the Jewish month of Shevat, and 15 is the number that means rest. Shevat is always, should be 15. The Jews celebrate a traditional New Year's Day for trees. It is an agricultural day of reckoning the worth of trees and begins the time of pruning and of tallying what the tithes of each tree will be, as also it is the last day of bringing any and all first fruits unto the Lord from the prior year. It was determined by Rabbi Hillel that this is the time when the dry tree, remember when Yeshua said that if they do this when the tree is green, Passover, what will they do when the tree is dry, winter? This is the time when the dry tree begins to take up the water from the heavy former winter rains. Therefore, the new sap begins to run, as we know here in the U.S. by our maple trees. These heavy winter rains are imperative in the development of fruit for the coming year. So until now, the 15th of Shevat, they, the trees, have lived on water from last year. Remember, it started raining when? Right after Sukkot, because at Sukkot, we were praying for rain, and all of a sudden, it starts raining. That's the rainy season, the first rainy season in Israel. All the months before that were dry, no rain. Starts raining up until now. The trees have been living on that. Now they're going to start on the second rainy season of the year, the water of the new year. And so signs of spring begin to appear. The weather becomes milder. Just look outside. And the fields begin to sprout green. A riot of flowers of every kind carpet the earth. The almond is the first of the trees to blossom, and the trees give forth a fresh and pleasant aroma. The Israeli birds, which went south during the rainy season, return home. Why did all birds fly south? Too far to walk. The Jewish people in ancient, you knew that one. The Jewish people in ancient Israel, most of whom were farmers. You ever hear of Jews being farmers? Wow, what a stereotype that is. Were aware of and sensitive to these changes in nature. In the Song of Songs, the bride says that winter is past and the rain are gone. She later goes down to the nut grove to see if the nut trees have budded. And then suddenly she is taken up in the king's chariot and taken to his palace. Our Lord promised to us living waters, which should begin to well up within us unto eternal life. And trees certainly need these winter rains, living waters. They need them to sustain themselves. James 5:7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of our Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of our Lord draws near." They celebrate this day by eating a variety of the fruits of the trees of Israel and giving thanks to God for them. The Jews also believe that this is the day where even God himself judges the trees, declaring them worthiness or worthless. In Israel, it is a time when the spring's first flowers appear, and Piers is real busy. When the first buds and flowers appear on the trees, reminding us of that time when the bride in the Song of Songs notices the first signs of spring around her. Let's take a look at what Yeshua says in Luke chapter 21. In verses 29 through 38, you could turn there if you want. The race. "And he spoke unto them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." Wow. "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Yeshua told us to take note of all the trees. When they shall shoot forth, that means buds and flowers, right? Then he speaks of this generation. What is this generation? Is it the generation we call the fig tree generation, the first of trees mentioned? So we see the fig tree, it occurred in 1948 when Israel went back. Is that the generation? Is it 1967 when they took Jerusalem? I don't know. Then we know that this generation shall see all these things. This Jewish generation, this generation of Israel. Unlike in Matthew, Yeshua says in Luke that we should also take note of all the trees, which may narrow down the time for us to early spring, as he states, when they now all shoot forth. Now, with all that, let's look at the almond tree. The almond tree is the first tree to flower in Israel. And in fact, it is in flower at this time of the judgment of the trees. The almond tree puts forth its blossoms before it does its leaves and produces nuts or fruit all through the spring, summer, and fall. It's a very fruitful tree. It is truly a beautiful tree, one of the gifts of almonds given sent to Pharaoh by his sons in the time of Joseph. The almond branch was that of a rod of Aaron. Remember that? Rod of Aaron, which budded, that was an almond tree, that branch, in the time when he was being challenged as to the qualifications for who was to be priest. Therefore, a direct declaration from God that this budding rod of Aaron was a sign of the priesthood for Aaron. As the others who placed their rods at the entrance of the tent did not see them bud. Here is an early type of judgment of the trees resulting in a declaration of the priesthood for the holder of the almond branch And we are supposed to be priests of the Lord. You are supposed to be a priest of the Lord. Amen. What did John read today? What did we all read today? You are to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. He didn't mean the people standing at Mount Sinai. He meant the people who took the word into their heart and lived it, who were standing at Mount Sinai, and you were there. You don't believe me. You don't remember. It's before you were born. But you were there. I was always told I was there. When I was a little boy, they said, you were at Mount Sinai. Everybody who's been saved is at Mount Sinai. We were there. And you're to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. It's what we read today, right? I'm not qualified to be a king. I'm not qualified to be a priest, though. I just want to serve the Lord in his farming community. I want to be one of his farmers. I want to go out and plant seeds everywhere I go, and only with the energy to enjoy the work. That's all I ask from God. Give us this day our strength so that we can go out and do your bidding, which is to plant seeds everywhere we go. Man, if you act like a priest and you are holy to God and you plant seeds, people are going to see that. They're going to notice who you are and what you're doing. And eventually they're going to be jealous. And they're going to say, I want what you have. Especially if you're a Gentile and you're doing that kind of work, the Jews are going to notice and say, I want what that Gentile has. He has, she or has something that I don't have, a relationship with God. You are at Mount Sinai. Start acting it. Start being it. Let's see. There's a symbolic meaning of the almond rod, which is even more significant. There must be a good reason why Aaron's rod budded almonds of all fruits. The almond blossoms in January. It is the first to bloom in the spring while all the other trees are sleeping. It is a harbinger of spring, the wakeful one. The Hebrew word for almond is shaked and comes from the root shakad, which means to be vigilant or awake, i.e. sleepless. Are you sleepless in Omaha? Thought I was going to say Seattle. Hence, to be on the lookout. Is this not required of the priest charged with trimming the lampstand? What is the priest supposed to do? Stay awake and be vigilant all night to get ready, right? Trim the lampstand. Let's look at the parable of the 10 virgins. We were just looking at that on Thursday night. Matthew 25, weren't we? Yeah. It's a perfect illustration of the almond rod, i.e. the lampstand. The fire goes out if one is not vigilant in trimming the lamp and refilling the oil. Somebody's got to be there because the reservoir drains out, don't it? To keep the fire burning requires constant zeal. The word for zeal in English is light. Light is zeal. For this reason, to the lukewarm Laodiceans, the Lord issued this warning in Revelation 3:9. Be zealous, be lightful, therefore, and repent. Here the almond rod signifies watchful, zealous, and prompt service of the priesthood. Appropriate characteristics of light. Light is service and works, according to Matthew 5:16. The first vision given to Jeremiah proves this almond zeal connection. Jeremiah 1:11-12 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond, a shaked tree. Then the Lord said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten, I will shakad my word to perform it. So there's a play on words there. The Hebrew for almond, shaked, is morphed into its Hebrew root word, shakad, meaning to hasten or watch. The idea is the God who does not slumber. Psalm 121. He watches his word to perform it speedily. The meaning of the almond rod. Does not Scripture say no less than three times? In 2 Kings 19, Isaiah 9, 7, Isaiah 37, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform. Thus, Aaron's almond rod points to the light symbol convincingly. We also see that the almond rod is the symbol of wakefulness, vigilance, and the first to awaken from sleep, and also means to hasten or to watch. Remember Luke 21:36 we read. Watch ye therefore, and also do we not call unrelenting unto our Lord to hasten his coming? Come, Lord, now. Come on. Let's go. Don't we? All day long we do that. For he says to the nagging petitioner of the unjust judge, Luke 18:6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry out day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He will hasten to perform his word, as said to Jeremiah. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The wise virgins are those who are wakeful. They slumber. That means they take a nap rather than they sleeping through, a deep sleep. How many of you overslept this morning? You did. Well, an honest man we have here. I didn't. I did last week, though. The groggy, foolish virgins awake to find that they do not have a sufficient supply of oil for their lamps. Shall he indeed find faith on the earth when he returns? Romans 13, 11 and 12. And that knowing the time, that is now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Did you believe your salvation was near? Well, now it's nearer than you believed. And if we wait, it'll still be nearer, and nearer yet. Waiting? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Zeal, right? Here, almond tree awakens out of sleep before all the others, and even puts forth profuse blossoms. Also, when Jacob was in the land, of Luz, which means almond grove, by the way, is when he saw the angels ascending and descending from earth to heaven. I noticed somewhere that almond leaves can also purify bad water. You ever see that anywhere? Let's read Exodus 25, 31 through 40, because it talks about a candlestick, and thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. I think we call that a menorah. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick out of one side, and three branches of the candlestick on the other side. Three bowls made unto us like almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flower, so that six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and flowers. And there shall be a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be the same. It shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall be light. The lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it, and the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. And of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount. The almond tree is a much beloved tree of God's. It is the entire basis for the pattern of the menorah in the temple, which is made out of one talent of refined gold, not overlaid in gold, as are all the other furnishings, and we are refined as gold. It is to be made of one piece altogether, and we are one in Yeshua, aren't we? The candlestick is to be made of beaten gold. And in fact, Yeshua was bruised. He was beaten. His feet were bruised, as we are, who are his all too often. Are we not beaten, bruised? Not like him, but we are. Then it is specifically told Moses that the branches of the menorah and central shaft have almond knops, many of them, and many almond blossoms. This menorah literally screams, "Almond tree!" Thus we have a picture of an almond tree in full bloom, as it is in January or February in Israel. Is this the tree of life, the Eitz Chaim? For Yeshua was the light that gives life. This is the congregation, lamps lit, tended by the priests both in the evening and morning so that they never go out. On Solomon's porch, which is in the second temple, there were 10 of these lampstands. The 10 virgins, maybe? In the book of Revelation, John hears a voice like a trumpet. Then he sees the Lord walking among the lampstands, and guess what he's doing? He's judging them, judging the almond tree menorahs. Whoa. With both commendations and rebukes. Here's the judgment of the trees. Which lampstands are worthy and which are not? And again we read in Luke 21:36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy." You might be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Remember, that's said by Yeshua as he draws attention to all of the trees. There is much in the word of the Lord about trees, beginning, of course, with those two infamous trees in the garden. Remember them? Fruit trees were to be valued. Let's read from Deuteronomy about fruit trees, 20:19. When you besiege a city, a long time, you lay siege to a city, in making war against it to take it, you can't destroy the trees. Because you can't force an axe against them, for you can eat of them, but you can't cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life. A tree is likened unto the life of a man. It is the Lord's business to judge trees, as the Father is the husbandman. And who can curse or wither or cut down a tree that is not fruitful? Now, I had two trees, one in my old house and one in my new house. And the one in the old house, remember that storm that went through in 1997, destroyed like 75% of the trees in Omaha? Well, it destroyed that tree to the point where there was just the tree trunk standing. And everybody told me to cut it down. It was a Bradford pear tree, which doesn't give fruit, but I said, no, I didn't want to cut it down. And I let it come, and as it started growing again, I started pruning it. And within 3 or 4 years, it looked like a 7-branch menorah. It was so beautiful, and that tree today is so healthy and blooming. Whenever I drive by my old house, it is the best tree on the block, let me tell you. And then in our new house, we had planted 3-4 ash trees. And one of them got struck by lightning about 3 years after we planted it. And it just crushed the whole tree except for the trunk. And we left it alone. And now it's blossoming. It's got 4 trunks coming out of it. It's the most beautiful tree I've ever seen. We're so blessed by God with trees. And he takes care of them. We don't have to take care of them. Yeah. Mark 8:22 through 26, and he came to Bethsaida, And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he spit in his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. The meaning of this is perhaps where when we begin to be healed from our own blindness, we see men as trees walking. How about you? You being healed from your blindness? There's been a blindness in all of us for many years. Do you see trees as men walking now? To be Shabbat is considered a day of joy, a day of simcha. We celebrate the abundance of fruits from the Lord. And we know from the word that on that day, no man will ever be able to take your joy from you. There's one thing you're not going to lose. It's called joy. This is a day of new life for trees. And more abundantly, with the winter rains past, as in John 10, I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So our life in Deuteronomy is as a tree. And our suffering brother Job said this about those who die in Yeshua. He said this in chapter 14 of Job, or Job 7 through 9. For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again. I'm telling you, I saw it twice in my neighborhood, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the roof thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. The resurrection to life anew. Wow. Those trees got resurrected by God. By the scent of the living waters, there is newness of life for us who are alive and await our Redeemer in this early spring blossoming period. That's where we're at. Let me give you some places in the Bible where there's trees. Psalm 1, continuous rejuvenation throughout life, like a tree planted by water. Psalm 104:16, full of sap. Are you full of sap? Are you a sap sucker? Roger sang about Isaiah 55:12. We sang that we will clap our hands with joy. Amen? For the trees of the fields will clap their hands. You ever see that happen? Yeah, I have. Isaiah 61:3, saints are called the trees of righteousness. Et Chaim. Ooh, awaiting adoption, Romans 8, 22 and 23. And Romans 9, 10 and 11 talk about an olive tree where they're integrating Jews and Gentiles through Yeshua and making Gentiles out of them. And life is futile unless you are. Amen. Let me hear you say that again louder. No, a Gentile. Amen. Zechariah 6:12, integrating. Yeshua is the integrating branch. And so John 15 talks about our need for pruning. Do you eat prunes for breakfast? Well, you need some pruning. And I don't mean eat prunes for breakfast. You need some gardening, right, Nancy? They need gardening. Aren't we gardening? Yeah, gardeners, like peers. Piers Burdekin is like he's the head gardener at the Botanical Gardens in Jerusalem, and he came here to worship for a year. He's one of us. Let's see, Zechariah 4 and Revelation 11:4 say, for oil. And the fig tree could be the symbol of Israel, Matthew 24, or it could be something else. Proverbs 3:18 talks about wisdom and understanding is a tree of life, and it's Chaim. Wisdom, we just pray that every week, don't we? Ezekiel 47:6 through 12 and Revelation 22, leaves. We need leaves for healing. We know that the revealing of the Antichrist may follow the patterns of the revealing of Judas on the night of Yeshua's passion. For that is when Hasatan entered into him and he became the son of perdition, thereby revealing this wicked enemy of our Lord's. And we also know that an extra place is set at the Passover Seder table, just in case some guy named Elijah might pop up or drop in. And that Yeshua said that Elijah was going to come ahead of him. He was coming first. Isaiah 62:6 says, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen all day and all night that they will never keep silent." Are you one of those watchmen? You ought to be. Isaiah 21:11, the oracle concerning Edom. "One keeps calling to me from Seir, 'Watchman, how far gone is the night? Watchman, how far gone is the night?' The watchman answers, 'The morning cometh, and also the night.'" So this watchful one, this Amen, says, the night of the son of perdition comes, but also then the morning for us. That would be the rapture, the regathering of Israel into a new and eternal life. Don't you want to be part of that? I do. Can't wait for that rapture. Need them in the air. And so a day to mark on your calendars. Y'all got a calendar from the dot? Mark on it. The judgment of the trees 2 days ago. And also a day when they shall be saying peace and safety in the world. Did they say that on TV somewhere? Bet they did. A day that just might be a day when the trees will awaken and clap their hands for joy. And a day that you think not. If nothing of any importance happens on this day or surrounding this day, well, now that is nothing new to the watchful ones, the almonds. But notice, nothing keeps us from that watchfulness, that expectancy, that great desire to see our beloved come. Come, Yeshua, come. Come soon. Come now. We're ready. And if you're not, get ready. You better be ready. Don't wait. Might be too late. Get off the gate. Let's skate together.